Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights from our services last Sunday. One of the big highlights last Sunday was that we were joined by the California Community Ensemble. We also want to invite you, as we always do, to come be with us this morning in church. Sunday school's at 9:30, church is at 10:30, and we would certainly welcome you to be with us. Thank you for listening.
Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself.
With all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind.
Do this and you will live.
Let us worship God.
Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 354. Open my eyes that I might see.
Our special music was a patriotic medley of America the Beautiful and God Bless America by the California Community Band.
Thank you.
our scripture lessons are read by Stacy Frederick.
Would you please join me in the prayer of illumination? Holy God, this is the time when we quiet our hearts and our minds to pay attention to what you have to say to us today. Fill us with your word and give us understanding by your Holy Spirit, that having heard your word, we may live lives worthy of you and please you in every way. Amen. The first lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. First of all, then, I urge that the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, godly and respectful in every way. This is good, and it is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Here ends the second lesson.
Our Pastor Russell Cobb's sermon is entitled Unshakable Hope, Protecting What is Valuable.
If you want to turn to Romans chapter 16, we're going to be in Romans 16 this morning for just a little bit. And if you want to hold in readiness hymn number 495, that'll be our hymn after the sermon. We have been going through a book called Unshakable Hope by Max Lucado. Our Sunday school has been going through it, and many people have been reading it. And I've seen posts on Facebook about how impactful it's been for certain people as they've read through it. And I encourage you to maybe borrow a copy or check out Sunday school in the next few weeks as we'll continue going through it. And it's an easy read. The chapters are short, which is really good for my time. You know, my attention span is not the longest, but it's a great book. Now, what would be valuable in your house? If a natural disaster was coming, we just had the one down in Eldon and Jeff City, and if you had to make that split decision of what you deemed valuable that you were going to grab out of your house and take downstairs or take to a safe place to protect, what would it be? Would it be photo albums? I know we've done that in the past. When we thought a storm might be coming, we grabbed photo albums and taken them downstairs, or maybe family photos on your wall or family mementos that are special to you. Many times we buy insurance policies to take care of things in case we have something go wrong. We don't want to use them, but we want to have it so we can have peace of mind. I know many years ago I bought a life insurance policy on myself when Betty and the girls were real young. In case something happened to me, they would be provided for. Just a couple of months ago, it expired. The last year or two, you know, I told Betty that she'd be a really wealthy woman if I passed away before this life insurance policy expired. And this last year or so, I've slept with kind of one eye open, worried about some things. But she told me that I was more, I was more valuable to her right now because I could still do some things around the house. You know, and that's love after 31 years of marriage right there, if you want to know what I'm talking about. So, but what does God deem as valuable? And how are we supposed to protect it? What kind of insurance policy or what kind of protection plan are we supposed to have for what God deems as valuable? As the Church of Christ, we are responsible to protect what's valuable in God's eyes. When you read Romans 16, it's an interesting chapter because most of it is just a bunch of names of people that Paul says, greet these people. And he puts a little description with each one of them. But when you read that chapter, you see what's valuable in God's eyes. Two things people, and the church. When you see that list of names there, you see all kinds of different things there. What's most valuable in God's eyes is not the building of the church. It's not all the possessions inside of it. It's not the pews. It's not the Sunday school classrooms. But it's the people and the church body that make up the church. Remember, Jesus called the church his. He says, I'm going to build my church on Peter's confession of faith. And then he's called the head of the church. You know, he's not talking about the building. But as we read chapter 16, we're just going to read just a couple verses of it. You see that he mentions people by name. He starts out with Phoebe. He starts out with Priscilla and Aquila. He talks about Epaphras. He talks about two individuals that were in prison with him, Androcanus and Junia. He talks about Amplius, a dear friend of his. He talks about several people that worked hard with him for the Lord. He talks about twin sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa, those who worked hard for him. He talks about Rufus and his mother, who was like a mother to him. And he goes on and on and on. And we see there that what Paul valued in the Roman church was not the building or where they met, but it was the people that made up the church. Wouldn't you love to hear the stories that made up each of those names? Men and women, young and old, they were made up of individual people. No one person more important than the other. We look at Jesus. His ministry was all about people, and he valued people. He engaged with the most powerful, Pilate and the high priest, and he engaged with the lowest of the society, tax collectors and lepers and prostitutes and fishermen. A few weeks ago, it was a joy to be in the parade, you know, not the part where I had to jog most of the route, but while we were handing out invitations to VBS and shaking people's hands, letting them know that we value them because we wanted their children to be part of their VBS. What if there was a letter written to our church and he listed names of people in our church? What would Paul write to this church and about the people here and the people that have gone ahead of us that have laid the foundation that we worship on today? Would he mention Renee's name about the way the music soothes his heart? Or would he mention a bunch of our ladies' names, the ones that work with our VBS and the men that worked with our VBS this week? The brothers and sisters that have worked hard, the leaders of our consistory, what would he list about each one of those? Because the most important thing about us in this church here is that we need to value the same things that God deems valuable, and that's people. That's the goal of our churches, to make and become better disciples of Jesus. That was Jesus' command to the disciples before he left, and we can never stray from that mission. For a church to be meaningful and see real growth both numerically and spiritually, it must value people. Not programs, not buildings, not money, not prestige, not the history of the church, but the people that come through our doors each and every Sunday and each and every day for all the different ministries that we have. That's why we invest in our children and our youth with children's time, Sunday school, powerful VBS, Rock on Wednesdays, and starting this fall a weekly youth group for our middle school in our high school. We value all the needs of our people. We're looking at having a grief share program for those that have lost loved ones in the past years to find ways to make them feel valuable and to meet the needs, because God deems valuable the people and his church. But how do you protect those things? How do we protect the things that God deems valuable? Well, he gives us a few hints here in Romans 16, verses 17 through 20. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. The protection plan that Paul gives the people there in Rome and he gives us today is, first of all, watch out. Be on your guard. See the things that could be divisive, things that could hurt your church. He tells them to be aware and look out for the dangers. The words that Paul uses there are contrary to the teaching, or they use flattery or deception to take you away from the teachings, the core teachings of Christ. We see the church struggle with issues from the very beginning. Just look at the Corinthian church.
Paul talks about the Philippians, two ladies that were in disagreement, Euodia and Syntyche. And he says, I plead with you all to be, of the same mind. But we've also got to know our weapons. How do we do our protection? We read it earlier in Ephesians 6 about the spiritual armor that God gives us. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted with the readiness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. But he tells us the weapons that we use are not the same weapons that the world uses. He wrote the Corinthian people and says, we don't wage war the way the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish their strongholds. So what are the weapons that we have in addition to that spiritual armor? We have prayer. We have collective worship. We have the scripture that gives us the power to protect our people. Then also, we've got to know who the real enemy is. With our stuff, it's natural disasters. It's thieves. It's accidents. Paul mentions those that are wanting to cause division. But he then mentions the real source that we are to be looking out for. He mentions Satan in verse 20, that one day he will be destroyed. But until that time, we are to be alert and to be sober. Peter said it this way, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. See, Satan is a real threat to what we're trying to do here. He doesn't want us to be successful. He does not want disciples to be made. And from the very beginning, Satan has been trying to divide people from God's love. We see it in the garden. Very first thing, there's only one command to keep. And he gets Adam and Eve to go against that command. We see Job, all the harm that he caused Job's family, trying to get Job's faith to be destroyed. Jesus called him a thief, a robber that only comes to steal, kill, and destroy in Romans chapter 10. And the very first prophecy about Jesus in Genesis 3 was about the victory Jesus was going to have over Satan. We need to know who it is, but we've also got to remember that we win. Satan is going to be destroyed. I like to watch reruns of games when I know my favorite team will win. I like when it comes on the NFL channel and they show the Super Bowl wins of the Cowboys in the 90s. I don't want to watch about the Cowboy, the Cowboy games in the 70s against the Steelers because they lost every one of them. I like to watch the Celtics championships in the 80s. And the last time the Reds won the World Series in 91, which was a very long time ago. The reason I like watching them is simple. I know they win. No stress, no worry, even if they get behind. And that's what Paul is telling the people right here. He says, you guys are going to be victorious. But see, we must understand as a church and as Christians that Satan wants to separate as many people from God's love as he can. He knows that's the one way that he can hurt God. He wants to take away our joy. He wants to destroy what is precious to you and to God. Don't take him lightly. That's why we pray every Sunday, deliver us from the evil one. So as a church and as leaders and as teachers of our VBS, we are to be shepherds of our flock to protect our little ones, instill in them how to use the weapons that God has given us. That is his protection plan for us. Watch out. Be on guard. Know our enemy and know how to use our weapons. And remember that we win. The last few months in the consistory meetings, we've been discussing church security, getting cameras, preparing for situations that could threaten our church building and the people that use it almost every day of the week. Because we value the safety of our people, we're making that investment. But see, as a church, we provide security physically, but we need to also provide it spiritually. Are we as a church doing all we can to provide the necessary spiritual protection for our members? Are you individually adequately covered? Are you sober-minded? Are you aware of the schemes the devil is trying to use to separate you from God's flock, to separate you from worship on this Sunday? Is your armor of God a little dusty, a little rusty, or is it well-oiled and well-polished and ready for spiritual warfare? Does your Bible have pages that are bent at the corners? Are there pages that have been underlined and marked with notes to remember in times of trouble? I love this quote from Unshakable Hope. It's on page 32. He says, the way we protect our people in our church is through the weapons that we have. prayer, worship, and Scripture. When we pray, we engage the power of God against the devil. When we worship, we do what Satan himself did not do. We place God on the throne. And when we pick up the sword of the Scripture, we do what Jesus did in the wilderness. Satan will not linger long where God is praised and prayers are offered. Satan may be vicious, but he will not be victorious. Are you part of God's family? Are you part of that flock that's being protected? Are you a member of a local church? Questions we all need to consider, and I'm willing to help you with the answers. Our hymn this morning is hymn number 495. Part of our protection plan is that people need to know who their leaders are. They need to know who they can turn to in times of danger. And one way they know that is they know that by our love that we show each and every member. Hymn number 495.
Now enjoy listening to the community band again as they play Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
I'm going to read from Jeremiah 31 before I pray. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like a covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. And that's what our goal is. Let's pray. Father, it's been good to be in your house today. Thank you for the music, the worship, just the children, all the people that work so hard on VBS, and everybody that works so hard to make this day possible. Bless our worship. Help us to be your servants. And thank you again, Father, for being our God. We ask this all in your name. Amen.